QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. More information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club can be had at www.bbarc.org. That's BBARC for Big Bear Amateur Radio Club.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, topic for the evening is we're going to continue on with our audio coverage of DSP stuff, and how to make your radio sound really, really, really good, even if it's just an HT, with the help from Jim, KJ6KDL, a very renowned and educated person in that field. So Jim will be with us again tonight, and we'll see where we can go with this evening. But first, let's do our roster of people who are out there just about every week, and a place for all guests to check in. Starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
You're here, Tom. Hey, WB6CLZ in Irwin Lake. Everybody, welcome to Tech Tuesday.
Good to have you out there, Mike. And Chipper's trying to, he was trying to hail you there on Echolink, but I guess he gave up. He's gone. How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening, Cindy. Thanks for you and Mike being out there. I believe you're in Placentia. Or wherever you are. You could be anywhere. Who knows? How about KA6CIA, George in Lucerne Valley?
KA6CIA, Lucerne Valley. Evening, Tom.
Well, good evening, George. Good to hear you out there, and glad you could check in with us this evening. Appreciate that. Next I have on my list is KJ6HCS Mike. Nothing heard from Mike. How about WA6ITC, Rod?
Yeah, we're here. WA6ITC.
Well, good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you with us this evening. Good stuff we're talking about here. How about KJ6FIL, Mike, from Redlands?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Next I have here is KJ6KDL and KJ6KDK, Jim and Rosemary, from Sugarloaf.
KJ6KDL here. KJ6KDK.
Well, good evening there, Jim and Rosemary. And Rosemary, hope you're feeling better. And yeah, a lot of bugs going around out there. So, next I have KI6IQA, Kelly.
Good evening, KI6IQA.
And good evening, Kelly. Glad to have you out there from Eastern Big Bear. Next I have K9AOG, Steve from Long Beach. Nothing heard from Steve out there. How about K6GBL, Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Ron, K6GVL from glorious Green Valley Lake.
And good evening there, Rod and Ron. And you're solid into the repeater. Sounding good out there. Next, I have AD6PL, Harold from Riverside.
Good evening,
KG6TL.
And good evening there, Harold. Thanks for being with us. Let's see, next I have KJ6RAY, Ray.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6RAY Mobile.
And good to have you out there, Ray. Appreciate that. Glad you're checking in with us. And I hope you do stop. You're mobile. I hope you're not driving all week long. All right. Next, I have KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYV, checking in from Sugarloaf.
And good evening there, Dave, from Sugarloaf, my neighbor. Couple more neighbors here, W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken.
Good evening, Tom. This is W6JLM. We'll be listening tonight, and
W6KMM.
Glad to have you both out there, and yeah, I didn't know if Ken was going to be able to check in this evening. He was working really hard out there today, cleaning stuff up, so good to hear you both out there. Next I have K2BBL, Alan from Moonridge.
Hi there, Tom. This is Alan, K2BBL.
Thanks. Alan, glad to have you with us this evening. I'll get it out there, okay. Next I have K6YNW, Chris. Nothing there from Chris. How about W6POO, Chip?
And hello to the good evening to the net. This is W6POO of Palm Springs, and back to you, W6POO.
And good evening there, Chip. Saw you on Echolink, but guess Mike didn't fire up his computer there. So, anyway, how about Ron, WA6HF? And nothing from Ron out there yet this evening. How about KD6LN, Bill?
Yeah, just a quick in and out. I got to get back under the hood. We'll be listening, though. KD6LN.
It'd probably be nice when you get that finally all done, won't it? I know. A lot of work. Next I have here is WA6DLB, Donna. Nothing out there from Donna. How about NQ7RD? Let's see if Rick's out there. And nothing from Rick. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can, 1900 hours. Next I have is AE6CK Victor from Santa Fe Springs. And nothing from Victor. Let's see if we got KA6ROD Rod from Moonridge. Nothing from Rod. How about Rob, W6JET?
Need to the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate you checking in. All right, well, that is the major part of the list that I have. Of course, we always have other people to check in. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
KE6TLT.
TLT, glad to have you out there listening in this evening. Thanks for joining us. Anybody else? All right, well, I think that's just about got everybody that's out there this evening. And if somebody else is listening in, always feel free to make comments or suggestions or questions. And that's why we're here. Well, anyway, Mike, before we get started with our audio topic, let's see. I know you've been busy. I don't know if you've had time for any DX, but anything you can report? And how's our sunspot cycle doing?
Well, Tom, I haven't given up on the sunspot cycle, but it's not up to what I expected. Anyway, well, right now, last time I looked, Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 116 and a solar flux index of 118 solar flux units. Well, St. Paddy's Day was kind of exciting. St. Paddy's evening, I believe it was, we had a CME, a level KP6 CME. Pretty good one. That's on a 0 to 9 scale, so that's a pretty heavy-duty coronal mass ejection that hit our atmosphere and turned the night sky green as far south as Colorado. So a little bit of an aurora action, so that was kind of cool. And let's see. Yeah, we did play a little DX. I've been taking little KX3. It's been so nice down the hill. By the way, Tom, we are up in Big Bear now. We're in Irwin Lake. But it's been so nice down the hill that I took my little KX3 out in the backyard, sat down, and hooked it up to the loop antenna, and was on battery power on 10-meter sideband with 5 watts. I worked the Canary Islands. Very cool. I mean, that's 1,200 plus miles per watt. Pretty good. I Tom and I have been emailing back and forth, and I'm going to throw it out there. Let's see who can beat that. We'll have a little challenge here and see who can beat 1,200 miles per watt. And it shouldn't be too hard if cycle 24 turns out to be even half of what they expect it to be. Hey, back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal there, Mike, and I think that's pretty cool. I don't know if you created that. That's a very good unit of measurement, miles per watt. Pretty cool, because obviously more power can get you out there a lot further, so that ratio is very, very, very cool. Anyway, well, Mike, another thing, too, there's a scuttlebutt about this, about that this cycle we're in is actually going to have a double peak, a little trough in between, and this is really resembling one that was back, what is that, in 1913, almost 100 years ago.
Don't have any information on that in front of me, Tom, but I have heard the same thing. There was a propagation report out several weeks ago that said that the way it is looking, that we may get a double peak. Hey, I'd be happy with just one at this point in time. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, roger that. We've all seen that. There's been some great times, great openings, but that's ham radio, and that happens. And, of course, when the bands all open up, it's just going to be pure craziness and happiness out there all at the same time. Well, anyway, let's check back in here with Jim. I know Jim's got a great amount of information for us this evening, and we've got a little outline here that we'll be, looking at. Jim? I'm going to hand it over to you, the expert that we all know with audio, DSP, and all that good stuff with compression and a million other words that not many of us use all the time. Jim, KJ6KDL, go ahead. Okay, this is from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Thank you, Tom. Well, I for those of you who missed last week, we were looking at the March QST, and we were on page, looks like 76. It was a one-pager called Your On-the-Air Sound, talking about how your voice and your sound affect how you sound to others and basically how things sound to you. And they touched on a lot of stuff, but just briefly. And last week, we covered several topics on how to make your sound good and frequency ranges and things like that. So basically what we're going to do now is start covering a couple other things, and one of them is say you have a cheap radio and you look at these fancy radios. They cost a lot of money. Some of them $1,500 to $4,000 plus. They've got a lot of bells and whistles in them, and you maybe have just spent a few hundred dollars for yours, and you want to have that fancy sound. Well, you can do that. You can add sound to your device on your microphone. It may not be direct over the counter, but if you're a project person, you can do that. Tom, I'll hand it back to you for a second.
Yeah, and Mike, I think we just briefly mentioned this last week about what we're about to talk about, and there's like, as far as the interface to the radio, to the human element, we have the microphone that we're talking into, and we have what we hear from the speaker. So those are two. No matter what goes on beyond that in that radio, basically, that's the two things that are the human interface that we're going to actually speak or hear. And Jim, like you said, and we've talked about this, that there's many, many radios out there. I think Mike's got a very good radio. Kudos to you, Mike, on that, for making a very good investment a few years back. But the K3 has got a lot of bells and whistles, but it's not cheap, and it does not come without, you know, a high price tag. So what we're going to do is we'll work into that on actually getting to the point where, what if you have a radio that's a good radio, but that's what you have, and many of us, that's all we can afford, and we're lucky we have that. So if we have that, can we improve on our audio and our sound, you know, and how would we go about doing that? Well, anyway, Jim, we'll get into that, and I know there's a couple things there you might want to talk with Mike about, so about his K3. So I'll go ahead and hand it back to you, Jim, from KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
All right, thank you. So to see if we can give a demonstration of what one can expect, Mike, were you able to look at your settings, your audio effects, and your the pages that I sent you to see what if you've used that before, or if you can demonstrate any of that tonight?
I can easily demonstrate mic gain. That's the easy one I can do. On FM, it's a little different. I mostly work sideband or CW, so on FM, it's a little bit different for me. But the mic gain I can easily do, and we can go to the book here and work through some stuff. Just give me a hand and talk me through it, and we can just go ahead and do that. But like I say, I've never really done a lot with the FM on this thing. Back to you, Jim.
KJ6KDL here on Tech Tuesday with WB6CLZ. Okay, let's, if you get your manual open, let's jump over to page 28. It rolls over to 29. And in conjunction with mic gain is your compressor. And then there's also a voice mode. Power level for voice mode, which I am assuming is what I do when I push my gain and then compress it, so my voice sounds fairly loud all the time without having a lot of quiet and loud peaks. And it's slightly different on the AM side than it is on the FM, because on AM you do have an amplitude modulation, and we do more frequency shift. So I was wondering if you can turn that on. You've got a really nice display that shows your frequency width, but it should show your compression level and your gain level at the same time.
Yeah, and I just pushed and held the compression, and I don't know if I have control of that on FM. So that's going to be a little bit of an issue.
Okay, if you just did, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but your voice is up front and it stays up front right now. Compared to before, it sounded like you were kind of bouncing off the microphone a little bit and having these slight attenuations in your voice, and that disappeared for me.
Okay, well, very cool. Yeah, the compression, though, on FM here is set to zero, and I have no control over that. Where on sideband, I have compression. I think it's about up to a 9 or a 10. But right now it's set on zero, and that's the only setting I have on FM unless I go into the menu.
Okay, so it does hold it there, so it has a preset. And then the manufacturer has decided to do that. And that's, I've made that setting, and if anybody was listening about an hour ago or 45 minutes ago, KD6LAN was helping me. I went off onto Simplex and started messing with my settings, and I got it a little out of kilter. It wasn't going to do what I wanted, and I needed to have an Elmer on the other side to tell me, that's a little too loud, that's a little too loud, that sounds good, that sounds better, stay there. And right now I'm up front on the mic. There is some background noise, but a lot of it you're not hearing. I've got a fan running on the side of me that's a little quiet, and I have some background noise. So Does anybody have any questions so far? Okay. Tom, I don't know if you got a chance to play with your 897 to see what yours does. It's a little bit more basic. It's noticeably cheaper radio and still not that cheap for most of us. And I wanted to see what it could do for you there.
Well, Jim, I've got the manual out here, and I haven't really ever played much with the DSP. What I have in here, and there could be more, but what I have found, essentially, you can pretty much just take for the microphone and turn the whole DSP filtering off. Or you can have where the lower frequencies are emphasized, or the higher frequencies are emphasized, or both, which actually gives you mid-range frequencies, are emphasized. So that's one setting, Jim, and I think we talked about some good frequencies to go by here. Let me reset, and Jim, I want you to listen up on this part here. Okay, I haven't changed anything yet. They also have a setting to the high-pass filter, basically where the cutoff is. And it's adjustable from 100 all the way up to 1,000, and the default is 100. But it says that you really shouldn't set this much above 400, so they have really about almost a dozen different settings. But they're giving you kind of a little tip there, you know, for a single sideband AM or FM, that you want to kind of keep it below 400, but the minimum is 100. So that's for the high pass filter cutoff. Let me reset. And it also has the low pass cutoff. Not really sure. This seems like this is backwards to me, but anyway, these are starting at 1,000, going all the way up to 6,000, default of 6,000. Anyway, this is actually the. I should clarify that. This is the high cut characteristics of the low pass filter, and the other one was the low cut characteristics of the high pass filter. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm confused. I know what high pass filters are and low pass, and actually if you reread this about three or four times, you can kind of see it's just setting the limits. And Jim, basically, that's what I have here for settings. The only other thing I've got is mic gain, which I can play around with that. Let you see what that sounds like, and our power output, and I can also do that. So changing a few things here, we can see what happens. Back to you, Jim. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Yeah, that's right, Tom, and that's on page 31 of your 897 book, and it's pretty much, they call it digital signal processing, but it's really an equalizer. The old days, choking a capacitor, and it does sound backwards. When they say it's a high pass, you think, oh, it's all high frequency, but it's everything above a certain point. And we mentioned last week that most repeater tones are, well, all of repeater tones are 200 hertz and below. And that's really, it's a quiet tone, and it's something that the repeaters listen for keying. There's no real useful information in there, and if you were to figure out how to produce some low frequencies, you might accidentally key a repeater once in a while and false key them. So it's a good idea to cut those, and we mentioned last week that audible ranges vary for intelligibility, if you can enunciate, roughly 800 hertz to about 3,000 was originally considered what the frequency range necessary to speak and have people understand you. Full range audio definitely goes below 400 hertz, but the lower frequency requires more transmit power when you're on batteries. That consumes more battery power, and there's not a lot of audibility when you're on a handheld or on road noise, you're traveling. It's just wasted power to get the point across when you're talking. So cutting that out really does help the efficiency of your transmitter. And the higher frequencies create splatter and other distortions, so it's a good idea to not produce those. So cutting it down to the what your book was saying, I would say no lower than 200. 400, yeah, definitely, that it starts getting a little tinny. Female voices are up in the higher ranges, so that's not a bad thing. But the high frequencies, definitely you can cut those out and get rid of distortions in the high frequency that might splatter into other frequencies, and basically just make your transmit section more efficient. And when you're contesting, you don't want all that spurious noise. You want to get your voice in that range where other people can understand you more so that you can get in for those contests.
Well, that's all good information there, Jim. And, you know, I'd like to do a little demonstration on, a lot of us have microphones, and you might have some settings on the microphone itself. And the Yaesu, the 897, the 897, for those of you who do not know what it is, it's essentially, I call it like a backpack radio. It's not as handy as Mike's new radio, which is pretty much featherweight. The 897, though, has been around for some time. It does have a huge, heavy dual battery pack that can go inside of it, which almost costs about a third as much, again, as the radio does itself. With that said, however, though, on battery power, you know, it drops back down to like 25 watts max. So it's probably a good start out, you know, quite a few years back. I don't know what year they came out with that. It's been around for quite a while. Of a, we'll call it the military style. Because this thing is far from being small. It's pretty good size. And I use it as a base radio because I don't want to take this thing hiking. Let me reset. And this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. Well, Jim, let me just demonstrate here. I have this switch on the back of my microphone, which I don't touch. I've been told that in the other position, the audio is even worse. So stand by. Let me just flip the switch here. All right, now I can't hear anything different here because I'm inside the room here. However, that has got the switch in the opposite position. And it says low and high. Now, Jim, do you notice any change between those two?
Yeah, absolutely. For those who have larger speakers, you will have noticed that the low end disappeared. This is what's called a low cut or a high pass filtering, which normally people use in contesting. This actually can help the efficiency of the transmitter so you get just a little bit more power out, but also in noisy conditions, this focuses on your voice range to make it punch out through that noise a little bit better.
Okay, and I'm going to leave it here just for a second. Now, another thing we talked about, and I'd say, Jim, right off the bat, though, since we're not contesting tonight, I was told that it does sound better in the other position.
That would be true. For a normal conversation, it's a little bit fuller, gets a little bit more of the lower end of your voice in. It sounds a little more natural, as they would say, a little closer to being there in person.
Okay, now if it's working properly, I switch that back. And that's just a real quick switch right on the back of the mic. Pretty handy. No menus, no knobs or dials. And just knowing right there of what it does is a good thing. And now, Jim, we talked about, as far as power, right now, running about 50 watts here, what I'm going to do is start cutting back the power. Now, I'm close enough to the repeater that I could probably throw a rock at it. Well, if I could, I'd probably be a professional, somebody that wouldn't have to be talking on the radio right now. But anyway, it's about 2 miles. About 2 miles, we're all here about 2 miles away from the repeater. So anyway, let me cut the power back at 50 watts, and I'm going to cut it back to 25, and let me see what you think. All right, I'm still at 50 here, but let me get back to my menu settings, so stand by. Jim, if you want to go ahead and take it just for a second, KO6Q.
Okay, yeah, what Tom is about to demonstrate is an effect I noticed recently when Tom was doing another test with someone else, And that has to do with receiver sections on other radios. And the repeater is really a receiver and a retransmitter. So with him being so close, this power change will be a little more dramatic. What's happening is the receiver section of the repeater is attenuating the signal that's coming in before it processes it and retransmits it. And since the voice is in the signal, what I'm expecting is that the higher power is going to slightly thin out the audio, drop the gain slightly, and when he lowers the power, his voice is going to sound a little clearer. Let's see what happens.
Okay, Jim, this is now down at 25 watts, and I don't know if there's any noticeable change. I'm still talking the same as I always do. And if you want to come back to me on that, I can drop it from 25 all the way back down to 5, and we'll see what that is. KF6Q back to KJ6KDL.
Okay, what I noticed on my audio compressor is that the gain is at its maximum limit that I have, and it's starting to compress more, about 4 dB more of compression, saying that it's louder and is taking some out. Because what I've done is set my speaker for the various amplitudes of all the variety of radios we have on the repeater, trying to get them more uniform for me. And so what I saw was more of your audio was getting truncated so that I would not get that extra amplitude. I'm wondering if anybody else heard Tom get louder. I'm not sure if we have anybody left, Tom. So, are you ready to go down to 5?
Yeah, roger that. This is now at 5 watts, and I'm still talking the same. And, you can always ask Mike. Mike's on contract. He has to come back to you. But anyway, this is 5 watts. So the first, and normally I'm working at 50 watts, dropped down to 25 on the last one, and this is all the way down to 5. Now, I don't see any difference because I'm not listening to me. Jim, can you notice any difference there? KF6Q, over to Jim.
Actually, I noticed something really interesting. Your dynamic range actually increased. So when you were talking, you were just as loud, but when you stopped to take a breath, I saw my compressor relieve almost 6 dB. So that's a pretty good threshold. It was giving you some more dynamic range, although I did not see the gain go up from dropping from 25 to 5. Mike, did you hear anything on your end?
Well, I know that he hasn't changed much from my old ears here. But, Jim, do you have an instrument or something that you're looking at? I don't understand when you're talking the figures of compression or what you're seeing. Break.
AET.
Mike, real quick. If you go to ARL.net and search up my call letters, KJ6KDL, you will see a picture of my HT base station, and maybe that'll give you a quick guide. Go ahead, break.
This is W6JET. Yeah, he sounds just about the same. And the thing is that between the three of you, I always have to turn the volume down when you talk because you're really loud, and the other ones are about the same. So it's you're pushing a little for FM, I think.
Okay, that's good input. Now I'm going to go in and make an adjustment here because I did say I messed myself up a little bit earlier. I'm going to break this down a couple of dB on the input, and I'm going to take the output gain down another dB or two. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds much better. How I usually compare, but I never met you in person, and that's how I compare by the voices there. But when you're listening over a period of time, you're going up and down with the volume because one's high and one's low, and that depends on if somebody's talking lower. But a good FM signal should sound just like the person in person, pretty close. When you go sideband or something, like that's completely different, but that sounds much better now.
Excellent. That goes in conjunction with what we were mentioning last week, and that is that there is a standard for audio, and there's some math behind it. Tom and I talked about it. I think it has something to do with an RMS standard, but basically, if you have a meter that's calibrated, when you check your transmission level, your audio should not go over 70 dB RMS, and not 100. Everybody thinks 100 is the top, but 100 actually overdrives your output signal. And since I'm using professional audio gear interfaced to a Yaesu HT, I don't have that luxury. So I have to use examples from people out listening. Do I sound like them? And the goal of my audio is to keep my voice consistent, not so much louder than anybody else, but to keep it at a level so that background noise is reduced and my voice has a consistent gain. So, Tom, are you ready to go back up?
And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday and the group, every Tuesday that we can. Okay, this is back up to 50 watts, and of course the mic's back where it was. Now, another thing here too, there is an internal setting on mic gain. This radio, unfortunately, only has a few dials in the front, but mic gain I can set, and I'm ready to show the difference. The settings on the mic gain are from 0 to 100. The default value is 50, and currently we are at 50. This radio also, you have to be kind of careful. A lot of radios are like that. There is a different mic gain for FM, a different mic gain for single sideband, and a couple other things in here. So the gain itself, a lot of these settings, you may set it one thing for FM right here, and go over to single sideband, you may want a different setting because you're actually, maybe you're trying to punch out there a little bit. So anyway, if you want to stand by here real quick, got it all ready to go. I'm going to, first off, take the mic gain down to 25. So I'm at 50, from 1 to 100, I'm at 50. The default value, this is usually where I run this, but I'm going to go ahead and drop it down to 25. Jim, if you'll stand by 1 second. KO6Q.
Hey, Jim, yeah, we can do this test too, because my gain is variable from 0 to 60, so we'll stand by.
Okay, roger that. And now I've got the mic gain is now set at 25, and this is something that you should probably be able to tell some difference. Jim, how's that sound now?
Okay, my output meter showed your voice peaks dropped about 6 dB. And you did sound noticeably quieter. So where you had it before was more consistent with what Mike and JET were sounding like. So you did lose a little bit there.
Okay, roger that. Mike, real quick back to you, then maybe we'll ask Rob out there. Mike, how does this sound different to you?
Really about the same, but then again, I have olfactory ears. But yeah, Tom, it sounds just about the same to me here.
Okay, Sandy, go walk over there and smack him. He's stuck again. He's in a loop. Just kidding, Mike. Anyway, appreciate that. Rob, how does that sound out to you? Does that sound a lot different or about the same?
It's pretty close. I would say the other setting was, we had it at 50 or 40, was much better. It's still clear and sharp, but doesn't have the extra little punch there for the FM. But otherwise, everybody's starting to sound in the ballpark there, the same when you were up in the upper level there. So it's all sounding good now. So I bring it back up.
Okay, now what I've done is I've gone the other way. I was at 25, from 0 to 100 to 25. This is probably not sounding good. I am now at 75. Out of 0 to 100, the setting's at 75. And I'm going to send it over to you, Jim, first. And what do you notice about the audio now?
Okay, my compressor, you hit the plus 6 dB mark and then started attenuating before you were attenuating from minus 9 to minus 10, you went all the way down to minus 15 dB compression. So I think you were overdriving and probably getting, you did sound distorted on my end. So you were starting to get less clear on your audio.
Okay, and that's a good report. That's what it should be. Mike, I'm going to send it back to you, and what do you think out there? WB6CLZ, KF6Q.
I'm still intelligible, but a little fuzzy on the high end and on the peaks. You're getting into distortion on that, but still, you still are intelligible on this end.
Okay, and it's probably, like I said, it's overdriving. It's over, as we would say, modulating, but ASFM. All right. Anyway, Rob, I'm going to send it back to you, and let's hear your opinion there.
I'd say it's punching out there. I'd bring it back down, and it's not bad, but it's not the clearest, so it's kind of overdoing it just a little bit, so I'd bring it back down. Where you had it before, I think that was around what Jim was speaking, and it sounds real good. W6JET.
Okay. Actually getting pretty good with these. Originally I was 50 before we started playing around with it. So this is 60, which is just a little bit more game than the 50. And Jim, does that sound like I'm back down there where I was before?
You're very close. I'm hearing a little bit of edge clipping, a little bit of fuzziness on the top ends of your voice, especially in the mid-range, getting closer to 1 kilohertz. So that 50 was the perfect number. And if you went down any from 50, I wouldn't go much lower than 45. So that 50 seems to be the magic number for you.
Okay, I did drop it back down to 50. And real quick there, Mike, when it was... well, now it's back to where it was, so we'll just leave the 60 alone. So anyway, and that is actually the default setting. So all hands off, basically resetting the radio, and that's where it's at. So that's not bad. Pretty good for not knowing anything about anything. It comes that way from the factory. All right, well, we'll just take a real quick break here. Anybody with any comments or questions out there, please come back to KF6Q. And the group.
KJ6RAY.
Yes, Ray, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, since we're talking about modulation and audio, I was wondering if you had monitored the audio of D-Star. It has a different audio than the normal analog. I just want to ask a question. Why is it like that? Over.
Okay, now with D-Star, which I'm not real familiar, but I know some basics, and other than the fact that it's a digitally modulated signal, and then I think that's going to hold probably more solid, even with FM. And FM is a great improvement over AM. And AM, or single sideband, of course, really is going to vary. You're going to hear a lot of variance with location and noise. And FM is designed to eliminate all that. And digital, like D-Star, even more so. Once it locks in, you should be hearing exactly what's going into the radio. So really a much better perfection. I don't have any D-Star equipment, but Ray, I'm going to hand it over to Jim. And Jim, basically D-Star is just digitally modulated on the carrier there. So anything you'd like to add, and then we'll send it back to Ray or anybody else who would like to comment. So first back to Jim. KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I'm not personally familiar with D-Star itself. However, with pulse code modulation audio, it's digital information that's being sent, and you have a fixed number of bits that you send over at a fixed rate, and that defines your dynamic range, your frequency response, and you're not affected by signal except bad signal breaks digital. So unlike analog, where your audio kind of gets into the noise and disappears when you're on the fringe, digital disappears and comes back depending on whether or not the signal is there to carry it. So you've got a finite frequency range and dynamic range. You're always going to have kind of like the difference between an old worn-out tape and a CD. The more you play the tape, the more worn-out it gets and the worse it sounds. And with CD, it will always sound the same unless there's some manufacturing problem or damage to the physical medium. So just guessing, if you have at least 8 bits of data, you're going to get a good 30 dB of signal to noise. I just don't know what the frequency spread is for the dynamic range, but voice, like we said, doesn't take much. So if you can get at least 8 kilohertz out there, four kilohertz, you've got good voice for transmission. So that's my guess as to why it sounds so much better. And you can get a better microphone and take advantage of that.
Well, KJ6RAY, Ray, I hope that nailed it kind of in the direction you were looking for. Any other thoughts or comments, please come back. KF6Q.
WA6H up.
Yeah, before I go, I just want to ask another question for Jim. Jim, if I use a Hale mic, will it improve my audio?
I didn't get what kind of microphone that was. I'm actually using a studio mic, a large diaphragm mic, and a mic preamp going through a compressor. So you can hear my audio. We got the gain stabilized with the help of the other Elmers here. So, yeah, listen to what my voice sounds like. I do have a little bit of baritone in my voice. So if you think I sound fairly rich and clear, then a nicer microphone will help. I'm not sure. I didn't catch what kind you were talking about.
Yeah, I was talking about the Heil mic. If I try to get one of those and connect it to my bass radio, what I'm using right now, will it sound different?
Oh, absolutely. The Bob Heil mic series, Bob has spent a lot of time going through finding dynamic microphones. I'm using a condenser, has some noise in it. Dynamic microphones that are low noise, and design them so they have voice response frequency ranges. And if you look at some of his gear, especially his headsets, they have a contrasting switches that change the tone of the audio for when you're trying to cut through everyone transmitting at the same time, trying to get your audio through all those contests. They do have those D-series mics that are just amazing. What's the other one? The PR20 and PR40. If you can get the boom, the microphone's the cheap part. That's the boom and the add-ons. If you can afford a couple of $100, you can get a really good sound off of those mics. You will enjoy that.
Thank you so much, Jim. Very good. We'll try to find out. And we'll be here listening. KJ6RAY, back to net control. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, Ray, and I'll guarantee you that Bob Heil will definitely be happy if you bought one of his mics. But, yeah, a guy who's put that much effort into there, I'll guarantee you that for these times and days, probably one of the best things that anybody could do. Anyway, we did have a breaker in there, WA6HF. Ron, go ahead.
Hey, Tom. I just comment on D-Star. I've had a couple of D-Star radios. They're pretty cool. Seems like they're quite a bit longer range, and you'll know when you're out of range versus analog. You start getting the R2-D2 syndrome, and then it just kind of fades out. But pretty good radios, you know, and especially if you get some of the good repeaters. And then on the Heil stuff, I've been running a ProSet Elite with the HC6 element in it. That's made for ICOM. And Everybody tells me it sounds really great, so HIAL's the way to go. Anyway, back to you, Tom. Go ahead. WA6HO. You know, and also it's incredible that all the different steps radio has made, say in the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and of course we're approaching, we always have had some sort of digital something in the radios for some time now, and working, whether it's just a signal processor or whatever, we're getting more into that with actually frequency control, rock solid, stuff like that. But we are approaching the complete, basically digital controlled radio, software defined, where it's simply a black box with almost nothing. Almost every ham, if you're running a base station, you're going to have some kind of a computer nearby, whether it's a tower, a laptop, maybe a new pad, a touchpad computer, and we're all moving in that direction. So with that, and a lot of the radios, my gosh, for some time have had computer interfaces, so those radios are approaching that, and we're getting to the point where we're going to have just a black box. What is that? Oh, that's my transmitter radio, yada, 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 and all. And basically, though, what you're looking at is the screen with all software switches. Yeah, we're moving in that direction, and when we get there, it'll probably be a good thing, you know, but I know there's a lot of people out there, I'm one of them. Hey, if that thing's got something glowing inside the little air holes there, I think it's pretty cool. It's kind of like nostalgia, but anyway. Yeah, one of these days we'll have to let go. Anyway, anybody else with any other questions on what we've been talking about this evening or any comments, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, well, we've either put them to sleep, Jim, or got them totally mesmerized and confused. But anyway, as we're getting close to 8 o'clock, we'll start winding things down here. And we'll hand it over to Mike real quick. Mike, any comments in getting close to closing here? WB6CLZ, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Tom, very, very interesting subject tonight. Now, hopefully we're going to continue on with this. I know we got the April QSTs, but hopefully we'll continue on with this. Very interesting. And I don't know about you, but for me, as far as this K3 and the little KX3, I don't utilize half of, maybe more than half of the little bells and whistles that are on this thing. Yeah, everything is adjustable, but like you say, not many things are adjustable from the outside world. You have to go into the menu and do that, and that's where we got to on the compression. Not adjustable on FM, but I could go into the menu, I think, and deal with that. Anyway, interesting, and hope we continue on with this in, for another week or so. It looks like there's enough information here to do that. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I think, and we just barely skimmed on that, and I think we'll have a little, we'll be doing a little research between now and next Tuesday. Jim, yourself and myself, we can look into that. And I think Jim started to mention that earlier on. If you don't have the $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, or $10,000 radio out there, what can you do to actually, if you've got what you've got, and how to get around that, and how to make it sound good? There was an issue of QST back, I think it was November, Jim, I think you brought that to my attention, of a DSP speaker. And Jim is running right now with that compressor on his audio with handling a lot of stuff there. We're going to get into that. Like, what is out there that'll go, my microphone will plug into it and it'll plug into my radio, or maybe it'll be a sidecar, or maybe should I just go out and get a better mic? Is there something out there that I can buy? Is there something made? Is it expensive? How much is it? Who makes it? And we'll cover that on both ends, on the microphone end, on the speaker end, and that'll probably wrap up for what we will deal with for right now with DSP and stuff. So, but that's our target for next Tuesday. So, Jim, I'm going to send it back to you. Any other comments? This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Tom, that sounds good because it's already, we only have like 5 minutes to eight, so the topics that I have, that's good for next Tuesday. Let's just focus on, so you've got your radio like I did. I bought a cheaper radio, and then I decided as I got into amateur radio and sort of using it more, it didn't sound right. I didn't like the way it worked. I wanted to make it better, but I did not want to go and buy a real expensive radio. And I already had a good deal into what I had, so I started adding things over time. And, yeah, I've spent some money on it, but I didn't shell it out all at once. So now I've got a working microphone that sounds more like a base station. This is really an FT-270 handheld you're listening to. Just has a few hundred dollars worth of add-ons on it. And I want to expand it some more. This thing is, I call it V'ger, after Star Trek, the satellite that went out and came back as a giant orb. And so attached to that radio is going to be a bunch of gear. So the next thing is, how do I make it sound good for me when everybody's talking, as we heard tonight? There's some people who are quieter than others. Some people are louder. Some people are boneheads and turn the knob up too far and overdrive everybody. And you need to squelch those guys down. So how do you do that? If you're interested, that's good for next week. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can, for ID. Well, good deal there, Jim. Yeah, and you know what? I think with most people, unless you actually, and this is a good example. Okay, I ran my radio at default, and it's pretty much okay. And it sounds fine, at least on FM. I know the defaults are all messed up, where the settings are for single sideband. I have to really go in there and probably just reset the radio. But, and that's what, another thing, don't let somebody else change your settings when you're not looking. anyway, that's a long story. We'll get into that later. But anyway, with that said, a lot of different things. You do need somebody out there to help you with that, a friend or whatever, through the repeater. Actually, it's best to go simplex if you can, if you got somebody nearby, and you're not getting any other information through that repeater, or if you're doing sideband work or something like that to help set that out. So always helps to have good equipment. That's always a plus. I think what Ray said there, a Heil mic, probably one of the first things you could add. And you know what? I run an external speaker. Actually got it at a yard sale. It's meant for ham gear. And all it is just a bigger speaker, but I could really do a lot more with that. So that was like step one. So a lot of the stuff works, and some stuff works better than others, just like antennas. So anyway, Jim, last comment, and we'll ask for any comments or questions before we close. Last call for comments. This is KF6Q.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I think that'll do it for tonight. Everybody go home, practice your radio voice. You've heard them out there. We've got some guys out that just have been on the radio, and they've got their voice tuned, and like you said, for most people, out of the box, the radio is going to perform pretty much as good as you could want. But you can hear those people out there. They talk on the mic. They have radio presence. That's them, not the radio that's doing that. So that's number one. Next week, how to attach barnacles to your radio that make your radio work better.
And we'll have part of that narrated by SpongeBob. Anyway, good deal there, Jim. And did I hear somebody else in there? Please go ahead.
Hey, Tom, I've got a comment about aftermarket speakers. I use those at both locations. It's the West Mountain Radio Comm speakers. I've had really good luck with those. Ham radio's got them usually in stock for $39. And I don't think you can beat them price-wise and performance-wise for an aftermarket speaker for your radio.
Comment.
Yeah, and 1 second there, Harold. I'll get right to you. And you know what? This is where we've got actually different fields overlapping. You know, the audio field, of course, there's audio stuff, and an audio guy will probably differ with you. Or he may agree with you. Who knows? You know, and you've always got Radio Shack stuff. So you have a lot to pick from. But, you know, if you're in the HRO area, you know, of course, that's a good deal there, too. So anyway, yes, Harold, go ahead.
If you want a first-class, durable aftermarket, if you can locate some of the old motorcycle cop Motorola radios, they had some individual adjustments on them, the whole works. They were really outstanding, and you drop them while you don't really do much damage to them. AED6PL.
Good information there, too. And I know there's a lot of people up here, especially as we get towards the summer. They've got radios in off-road vehicles or vehicles that are going off-road. So there's another thing, too. Speakers or possibly an external speaker. If you're out of the vehicle and you're out walking around for a while and you still want to hear it without blowing the speaker out of your radio, not going to sound as good, but, you know, good little things here under the hood for like a PA speaker, all that good stuff. So, and we've covered part of that in the past, but we can actually get part of that going next week, too, maybe. So, anyway, it's all good. Last call. Any other comments? Please come back.
Yeah, you're cutting into my next week already.
Oh, I'm not giving any details. No details. Oh, anyway. All right, well, we got to get out of here. It's 8 o'clock, so I got time to close this, and that homemade pizza with all the goodies is still waiting for me downstairs. So, all right. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KO6Q, Net Control. Thanks for the help, Jim. Appreciate that. And Mike and Rob and everybody else out there who's listened in and helped this evening. A lot of good fun out here, a lot of good information. Ron, thanks for giving us some good information there on D-Star. Harold, always appreciated the information that you bring in. So hopefully we'll continue on without any issues and get some more cool stuff next Tuesday. Hope to see everybody back here. And like I said, it's all fun, and we're just out there to make it a lot more fun. All right, I will now return the repeater back to normal use, and thanks again, everybody who joined in. This is KF6Q. Beep.